BBUK is in full swing, but BB16 in the U.S. is right around the corner. There's only a couple days left to get the early bird special and save 20% off the season pass for Big Brother Live Feeds. Plus, you can still sign up for Big Brother Live Feed Bingo with the chance to win $500 on robhasawebsite.com. For more information, visit robhasawebsite.com/bingo. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's been reading the tea leaves all week long of BBUK, Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our live BBUK recap, talking about what happened in week two and our latest eviction. It was Pauline. It looked like for a little while she was going to be saved, but unfortunately, the UK did not forgive her for what she did last week, and she is the latest person to go, and I'm actually kind of happy because I thought it was going to be Steven, and I was getting nervous. Okay, so let me introduce you to our co-host today, who will be talking about BBUK with you guys all summer long. Check out this power couple. Of course, you know Kurt Clark, who's been with us from the beginning. Kurt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, Kurt, happy BBUK week two.
Yeah, just chugging along.
What's your favorite farm animal?
My favorite farm animal, probably the free-range cows that get to sleep anywhere.
They get to sleep anywhere. And let me introduce you to our next co-host of the BBUK wrap-up. We asked for people to submit a VT during the week to apply to tell us why they should be part of the BBUK team. Here she is. She had the best VT that we saw. Please welcome Mallory Beasley to the podcast. Mallory, hello.
Hello, Robin and Kurt. Really excited to be here and talk about BBUK. Really pumped about it.
Okay, Mallory, tell us a little bit about yourself. That now, Kurt and I, of course, are Americans. You are from north of the border.
I am, yes. I hail from Nova Scotia, which is on the very eastern side of Canada, and I'm currently living in Montreal. So, hi from Canada.
Now, as a Canadian, do you have a special perspective into BBUK?
Actually, this is my first time watching the show, which is really interesting. I saw the podcast with you guys, and it totally got me interested. It's made me look at BB Can a lot differently, actually, because I can kind of see some of the influences coming from the UK and the mix of the UK-US format. So that's kind of interesting.
Okay, so we've got Americans, we've got Canadians. It truly is Rob Has a Planet covering BBUK. So it's a global experience. And speaking of Rob Has a Planet, we have all sorts of shows coming for you guys here in the next couple days. I've done at least, I think this is the sixth Rob Has a Podcast episode of the week so far. We've got all sorts of things, talking with Chaos Cast, talking with Malcolm. We talked about Last Comic Standing. Today, I recorded a podcast about the 9 most vile things that ever happened on Survivor. Of course, we have BBUK coming up right now. And of course, tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, Brian Lynch and I will be previewing the BBUS cast for Big Brother 16. So that's going to happen on Saturday afternoon on Rob Has a Podcast, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Join us live for that conversation. Okay, let's get into this. So it was a busy week in the BBUK house. Of course, most of the drama surrounded Chris as the power housemate this week. And so Chris had a very interesting week. Let's start with him. Kurt, as the power housemate, Chris had a lot to do. Did you think there was ever going to be an end to the number of people Chris had to nominate this week?
I didn't know if they were going to run out of days for him to nominate before they ran out of actual nominees. I was surprised that he nominated 5 people, to be completely honest. And it got to the point where, like, if there's 3 people up there, you can kind of have a guess as to who's likely to go home. But since there were, like, 6 people up there, and the week is so long, like, I forgot how detested Pauline was at the last eviction show by the time, like, Wednesday or Thursday rolled around. So many players up, so long since the last eviction. I really had no idea what was going to go on.
Yeah, it was just a never-ending amount of nominations. Kurt, what is the most nominations they tend to have on BBUK?
I mean, typical is 2 to 3. In some of the earlier seasons I watched, there were 2, but lately they've been doing 3. But depending on the twist, I mean, there was one a couple seasons ago, I believe, where anybody who received a nomination, even if it was just one nomination, was going up. So I think there's maybe like 1 or 2 people in the house who received no votes. Everybody else was up. So, you know, they just change things so much on the fly that you never really know week to week.
All right, let's talk about this really in 2 phases. One, before the guy told everybody Chris is the power housemate, and then after that happened. Mallory, up until that point, did you think Chris was doing a good job as power housemate?
I think he did a pretty good job. He was hiding it pretty well. I mean, I think he's pretty quiet, keeps to himself, so maybe they didn't suspect him as much as some of the other more colorful housemates. But I think that the fact that he had to nominate so many people really puts a lot of pressure on the person that's the power housemate, and I think it's kind of a crazy amount of people to nominate.
Kurt, did you think it was a mistake that he put Marlon up on the block? Because that it seemed like the house was, everybody was saying like, well, it's either Chris or Marlon. And then once he put Marlon on the block, then I think everybody, even before the guy started yelling things, was pretty convinced it was Chris, right?
Yeah, I was questioning that decision myself because it seemed like it started out in the week that several people immediately thought it was Chris, but over time it shifted to Marlon. And when he was actually vocalizing his decision process, he did acknowledge the fact that Marlon's the biggest suspect. And then if he was to put him up, then it would put the target back on him. It felt a lot like whodunit this week. Like and the killer was indeed Chris. So I don't necessarily know if I agree with that, but I think that was the one where Kimberly might have gone up. I can't remember who was alongside Marlon for that that short list. But yeah.
Yeah, I came to like Chris this week, and I did feel very bad for him when the guy yelled out, "Hey, house guests, Chris is the power housemate. Chris has the power." And he's like, what did that guy say? What did they say?
Deer in the headlights.
And he's like, did he say Chris or Christopher? He's like, he said Chris.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for him, and I felt like Jale really sold him down the river.
Yeah, I was curious how the crowd was going to react to her this week because from the way that I remember that episode, and I was glad to see that, you know, those who've been coming along on this journey in the Rap Nation for the first time, I got to see like one of the many things that will often happen this season is the public throwing things into the house or trying to, it's the equivalent in the UK of a banner being flown over the house in the US. But I was wondering if the public would turn on Jale because it seemed like Christopher was fine keeping it quiet and Jale seemed like she was fine keeping it quiet. And I, as a fan of Chris, was glad to see it was those two in the backyard with him. And then they seemed to both say, you know what, let's just keep this to ourselves. And then Jale, like, had some sort of little mini breakdown and it seemed like she was going back on her word. So I was curious to see how the public was going to react. I mean, they did keep it to a pretty small group. I think they just expanded it to Danielle and Ashley, I think. But the public still was cheering when they called out Jale's name at the end. So I think it didn't hurt her too much.
Mallory, what's your take on Jale?
Jale. My opinion of Jale totally took a bit of a nosedive after she blabbed to Danielle and who else was it?
Ashley, I think.
Ashley, about the guy yelling over the fence. I was like really turned off by that. I don't know. I'm kind of lukewarm on Jale at this point. Yeah,
and the way that she, and also the way she was like almost accusing Chris of having done something to her. And like, I can't be made to be a liar. And she was, and her reaction to Chris and her rationalization for why she might tell people just seemed really strange to me. And I don't know.
All right, let's talk about some of the other big stories from the house this week. Let's talk about Showergate. Showergate was huge. It was sort of a huge week for Kimberly. She was really all over the place, that she had a whole thing with Steven. She had a whole thing with Marlon. And then she, of course, she has then the big fight with Helen. So I guess, let's talk about Showergate. And let me say again, I'll set up these things because I know people listen to the podcast that don't necessarily watch the show. So they had to do a task where they had to all be farm animals and there was manure involved. Was it real manure that was involved?
It looked real.
Oh,
no. So they had to do something with manure, and Winston was taking a shower, and then Kimberly said, hey, could I get in the shower with you? Now, bathing suits were on, which was disappointing, but that is what the deal was, and so everybody is wearing bathing suits. Seemed a little flirtatious in the shower, but not too bad. There was no touching or any sort of, you know, illegal contact or anything like that. So let's start with you, Mallory. Did you see anything wrong with Kimberly invading Winston's personal shower space?
I saw nothing wrong with Showergate. I mean, the shower itself is designed to have multiple people in it, I believe. Yeah, I didn't see anything wrong with it at all. I didn't even pick up on any flirting. Maybe that's just me, but yeah, total overreaction by the housemates completely.
It really was pretty crazy. Kurt, did you have a take on Showergate?
Yeah, I can't wait to watch. I typically don't watch Bit on the Side, but I think I can't wait to watch it later tonight. I think Tamara is going to be a guest on there.
By the way, can I just say one thing before I forget it, Kurt? Sorry to interrupt you, but I really love that they bring in a psychologist on the bit on the side. They're always talking to different people. I would love to do that on Rob Has a Podcast. I know they did it in the original Big Brother where they had like Dr. Drew involved. But if we have anybody who with a psychology background on in Rob Has a Planet, I would love to get sort of check in from time to time from somebody who's going to be watching the U.S. version of Big Brother. Like, I was going to reach out to Julie Berry because I know she has like a master's degree in psychology and she does all sorts of psychology stuff, but I don't think she watches Big Brother. But if we have some, I would love to have something like that, like as just sort of like, okay, tonight we're going to talk with this person who's been watching the house guests and sort of get it like, I do want to borrow from Bits on the Side covering the BBUS this season.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I like the fact that they bring in a mix of a panel of former housemates, people who had been on the show that season, celebrities in the UK. So I'm really curious about tonight's episode because they said Tamara from last week was going to be on. And I wonder if they've at all reached out to her, if there's any reaction from her to Showergate, because the big, you know, push behind why it was Showergate was the fact that Kimberly got in the shower with Winston and Kimberly knows that he and Tamara have a thing. And Winston didn't seem to mind. Kimberly didn't seem to mind. You know, Helen and Toya, Toya went from being what I thought was going to be my favorite housemate to probably my least favorite housemate, and Pauline. And Winston wasn't helping matters. Like he was like being told by Pauline and caution. He's like, nothing much happened. And then he'd make some sort of like euphemism for something having happened in the shower. But he didn't get that he was actually probably inflaming the matters. But he didn't take it seriously either. So I did. Long answer short, I didn't really think of much of Showergate.
So then Showergate sort of devolves into, there was one part where everybody gets drunk, and then Helen is taking Kimberly aside and yelling at Kimberly, and then my personally favorite part was then Pauline talking to Winston. And, you know, it was almost as though like Pauline was like a grown up talking to like a child about potentially staying away from a dangerous situation, where Pauline like really got in Winston's face, like, you listen to me. If anybody ever tries to get in the shower with you, you say no. This is my personal space. You tell them, no, I have this. I am using the shower right now, and it's my personal space.
Privacy. Yeah. Yeah.
You need to show me I'm clowny. Show me I'm clowny where Kimberly touched you.
Yeah. Oh, that was outrageous. Yeah.
Because Winston did not seem to mind.
No. And he wasn't even looking at it as something that was a potential situation for anything. He was like, yeah, come on in. And at first I was wondering if there were bikinis and you know, swim trunks involved, and there were. And yeah, I don't know if it was like a jealousy thing or what, but I don't know if the public really cared much about that.
You know, I feel, we'll get into hell in a second, but I feel like the one part of Showergate that I felt like was not explored was it a violation of the bro code for Winston to have the shower with Kimberly? Now, Steven has already come out and professed his admiration for Kimberly. He says he has feelings for her. And now here's Kimberly. She's going in the shower with Winston. And I feel like we never saw, apparently Steven didn't care about it, but I feel like that was that kind of a messed up thing to do by well, again, I don't think that Winston had much of a say in the matter, but I felt like that was sort of messed up that Steven, who cares about Kimberly, had to sit there and watch. Here's Kimberly in the shower with Winston.
Yeah, plus the fact that I think I get the impression, I'm just trying to remember throughout the week, that were people warning Kimberly about Steven? Or at least Steven got the impression that people were warning Kimberly about Steven.
Jale and Danielle were warning. Yeah. I don't know why.
So I don't know. It was just strange all around. And like the big thing that happened over the last day or so. So I guess they had to show up.
Yeah, there are some house guests that feel like Steven's too good for Kimberly. That's like Toya and a couple other people.
That's right.
They're too good. That he's too good for her. And then there's other house guests that are saying that Kimberly is too good for Steven.
Yeah, it's you see kind of a divide in the house, and you know it's a Big Brother. We shouldn't be surprised.
And then the one guy who's really left out in the cold in all this is Marlon, who also has the hots for Kimberly, but apparently he's very lecherous in his admiration. And I guess he was saying, like, and sometimes the accents, I can't really understand what they're saying, but he was talking to one of the guys about Kimberly's body, and she overheard them.
Yeah, I guess they were doing exercises, like Pauline was leading dance dancercise in the living room, and 4 feet away Marlon was commenting, I think, to Winston, because I don't think it was Steven.
I think
it was Ash. Oh, it was Ash? Oh, that's right. It was Ash. I keep forgetting about Ash. And she heard him, and she called him out and said, here's what I heard, and he didn't really have any counter to it.
Yeah. And then she confronted Marlon. Mallory, what did you think of that as a woman, the confrontation of Kimberly to Marlon?
I loved it. Kimberly is a goddess. So, yeah, I love that she confronted Marlon, because he was being kind of a douche. I think he said, like, he was hoping for some slut buckets to come into the house. So I was like, ugh, awkward. I'm glad she confronted him, for sure.
Isn't that sort of a compliment that there are none currently in the house?
Yeah. I liked how they were going down the entire list of females and saying, okay, boyfriend, married, boyfriend, boyfriend, won't have anything to do with me, too young, boyfriend. And they basically said, so here's all of these women who aren't available and a ton of single men. And they kind of acknowledged that Big Brother created this situation.
Yeah, Ash is like speaking as the voice of reason in all this. He's like, what were they thinking? Yeah, you never thought it would come from Ash.
Yeah. Did you guys find Kim to be conceited at any point during the week?
I don't know, conceited, but she does carry herself a little bit. I think just the poise with which she carries herself and the way she carefully constructs every sentence, she seems very put together, and that I think could be, if she's constantly focusing on how she's presenting herself, I could see that coming off as conceited. I'm not remembering anything specific that said, oh, that was such a conceited thing to say.
What do you think, Mallory?
Oh, I don't really see her as conceited. I see her, she's kind of an enigma. She's a bit mysterious, but she's also kind of part Valley girl. It's a really weird combination, but I don't recall anything specifically that she said that was conceited.
I just what makes you ask that, Rob?
Well, because I find that her she's always talking about people talk about look at me like I'm a piece of meat all the time, and people are always hitting on me, and people are always and I know this person likes me. I know this person likes me. And these must be nice problems to have, that there are all these people constantly throwing themselves at you.
Hey, it's not conceited if it's true.
I guess so. does not sound that bad for Kimberly. Okay, let's talk about Kimberly with Helen this week, when everybody got very drunk. And I find Helen, a lot of times, if I close my eyes, I feel like Helen is a voice double for Ygritte from Game of Thrones. Kurt, do you find that at all to be the case?
This is where my lack of having watched Game of Thrones is going to come back and bite me. So I'm going to pass on that one and go to the next clue.
Okay. Mallory, are you a watcher?
That reference is totally lost on me.
Maybe people in the chat room. I just keep waiting for her to say, you know nothing, Jolly. So her big fight with Helen during the week, Kimberly and Helen, she says this was a violation of, this was embarrassing to Tamara. What'd you make of that, Mallory?
Kimberly said it was embarrassing to Tamara. I guess.
Helen said that Kimberly going in the shower with Winston was embarrassing to Tamara.
Right. Right. I can see that, just because I guess it's Big Brother and, you know, people are in such close quarters and you build those relationships so quickly. And actually, I was watching a bit on the side, and there was a phone call in from Tamara who said, kind of echoed those sentiments, saying they blew it out of proportion, but I was a bit ticked off when I saw Kimberly in the shower with Winston. So I guess it was partly true.
So in addition to Showergate, we also had a lot of drama that came out of the farm task, and which was really gross. I really did not appreciate a lot of the throwing up and all sorts of things that happened in the farm task. And the person that hated the farm task the most was Mark. Mallory, what did you make of Mark this week and his complaining?
Love Mark. Love him. He's so funny. He said it smelled like a barnyard when he was sleeping, so that was funny to see him have to sleep in the dirt. That egg task, though. Oh, my gosh. I think that rivaled Gina Marie's kind of going to town on the frozen yogurt machine. Yeah, that's nasty.
Yeah, I don't know why they have to do so much gross stuff. Kurt, is this par for the course with Big Brother UK?
Oh, yeah, definitely, 100%. I was getting a little tired of, at the very beginning when the blinds in the bedroom go up and they see that there's something out in the backyard, which is a common occurrence on the show, and they see a farmyard, and somebody conjectures that they all are going to have to be farm animals, and Toya is immediately, oh, I'm not doing that. That's degrading. Yeah, I have a job. But she said something, I'm not going to go through my notes for it, but she basically said, I didn't come on this show to be degraded and to be made fun of or what have you. And I was like, let's rewind and analyze that statement again. It's like, you're on Big Brother. You know it's going to go on in the show, and it's a task.
And again, Ash is the one that's speaking as the voice of reason. He literally says, you're on Big Brother. The whole experience is degrading. So,
I thought the worst with this was Danielle, who claims that she did not want to participate in this task and be one of the chickens because it was going to hurt her career, of all things. And we've already discussed what is her career besides some of these crazy pictures that she has on the internet. So let me just get this straight from Danielle's career perspective. Coming out against the right for gay people to be married in the modeling industry, That's okay. That's not anything that could potentially hold her back in her fashion modeling career. doing a task as a chicken on Big Brother, this could ruin her.
Yeah, unless she was hoping to be a cow, because there was a task, I guess, where they had to make whipped cream. And she's very, we know she has this affinity for whipped cream based on Google. Maybe that's what she was hoping for. I have no idea what she was thinking.
Yeah.
But Toya also thought that it was going to, you know, impact her career.
What's Toya's career?
I don't have it in my notes right here, but it's, but she said that this was going to be, as found the other thing I know, she said, this is going to be degrading and I have a career to go back to. It's like, again, you're on Big Brother.
Yeah.
Toya is a YouTube blogger, apparently.
A YouTube blogger? What does she blog about?
I don't know.
Yeah, YouTube.
God, we have to check that out. There's a lot of that going around, YouTube bloggers in the Big Brother house.
Yep.
That's a big thing. So they had to do all sorts of different tasks during the week. And honestly, I was really losing track over who was a chicken, who was a cow, what they had to do. It just was whatever they told him to do. Mark was just complaining to Big Brother all week long.
I did like when they were in the when they kind of had to bed down for the night. I was literally wondering, okay, there's four people there on cots and there's four people on the ground. Where are the other four people? And then right then Big Brother comes in and goes, and the cows can sleep wherever they want to because they're free range cows. I'm like, yes, of course. That's awesome.
Mallory, what did it sound like when Mark went to complain about the conditions in the chicken coop?
Oh my goodness. It was something like, oh my God, it smells like fucking wildlife. Terrible. Terrible. Need to work on it.
I did like when Mark got stuck in the vase to the episode tonight.
A psychic Mark did not see that coming.
Yeah, no, he did not. Okay, let's talk about Mark's reading of the tea leaves, because he asked the tea leaves. Apparently, Mark is psychic. I thought it was just a joke. Like they basically like gave him a task that he was psychic last week. And then so he was like giving psychic readings to people. But apparently Mark actually is a psychic and can read the tea leaves. And the tea leaves are never wrong, even though the tea leaves claim that Mark is the powerhouse guest. But I'm sorry, that Marlon is the powerhouse guest. But when Big Brother asked him about that, do you think the tea leaves could be wrong? No, they can't be wrong. He might just be the house guest in the future. So this was like sort of a tricky prophecy.
I'm surprised he didn't say, well, it wasn't an M, it was a W, and maybe it's Winston.
Oh, could he have been reading it upside down?
There you go. Could have been reading it upside down. That's my theory.
Yeah. I hope that we see Mark reading the tea leaves all season long.
Yeah, and I did like the fact that when he was reading the tarot cards, and it's for Helen, and he had the Six of Cups, and he said, okay, this represents six of you that are close, and then the next one was the Five of Cups, and one of you is leaving, and it ended up being Tamara. So, yeah, you're kind of post-rationalizing it, but I did like the parallel symbolism there.
Another person I liked their complaining this week was Toya. She was complaining, I believe, in the diary room as Kurt rolls his eyes about Toya. Kurt's turned on Toya so much. I liked when she was in the diary room and she was talking about, like, you know, I say things to people's faces, like I don't go around and talk behind people's backs, like some person who will remain anonymous. And Big Brother was like, who's talking behind your back? It was Kimberly. He just said it's going to remain anonymous.
I think every week we have that key word that people may not understand. Last week our word was recidivist. This week it is anonymous.
Yeah. Or profession. Confession, profession.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what's his confession when he gets out of here? I think he was looking for like vocation or something, actually, or profession, excuse me, profession, yeah. Or vocation, yeah. Or career or job.
Okay, so then Toya becomes the new power housemate tonight, which I don't think we saw that coming. And then she gets
by one vote. Kimberly had three votes and Toya had four.
All right,
but so, given the twist, I'm glad it's not Kimberly.
So Toya gets to pick somebody to share it with, and she picks Matthew, who's been pretty quiet through 2 weeks of Big Brother.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how he handles things. He'll balance out the distaste I have for Toya currently.
Yeah. Okay. And so I want to get into taking questions from you guys when we get a little closer to the end of the show. You can post them on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube or use the hashtag RHAP. Let's just sort of bounce around the house and talk about some of the people that we didn't talk about this week. Let's talk about Mallory's favorite, Ash. So what's going on with Ash and Helen? Is that going to be a thing?
Hash? Maybe Hash.
Whoa.
Or Alan?
Hashtag Hash.
Ash, yeah.
Speaking of Ash and Helen, let's talk about Helen's confession to Ash. Now, how much did she confess? Now, she confessed basically the sex scandal. Did she confess that she was a prostitute also?
Yeah.
Yes.
But
she
Ash
didn't actually
like, okay.
Why would you do that? Oh, no. So he asked, why would you do that? She's like, it was my job. And that's kind of when it came out. But she didn't actually confess to the scandal as much as she said that she did have sex with somebody who was in a relationship and she couldn't talk about it. But she gave some broad details about how this was something that got leaked to the press. And then he asked why you would do that. And she goes, well, it was my job.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay.
Boom.
But I think she was stressing I think she was stressing past tense.
Do we think that Ash and Helen will become a thing by the end of this week?
Yeah, sure. I think they keep getting slowly closer together. And when he voted for her, I believe, to be the power housemate because he thought that she would throw him a bone, so to speak.
Whoa.
If she got to pick something good.
Okay. Mallory, you think this is happening?
Not sure. I mean, Helen claims that she's celibate. So yeah, I don't know
what
her motivations behind that. Yeah, I read that somewhere. I don't know where that came from, but apparently.
Was it the Weekly World Things That Aren't True.com?
It must have been.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably something that she put out there, but I don't think is gonna hold through the summer.
Emphasis on put out.
Let's talk about Ashley Coyle. What is going on with her? I think she's been probably the most invisible house guest so far.
Yeah, she seems to have kind of shifted from being a little bit part of the Danielle, Jale, Kimberly group, and she's now feels really close. I think she feels close to Toya. And Helen, more so Toya. I think she's even confessed to Toya that she doesn't think Helen likes her because of her age. But she's kind of shifted, and she's talked a little bit of smack about Kimberly, I believe. So she's kind of in the background. But not sure where. I think she's probably safe for a little bit, unless she gets nominated and she gets voted out because she's boring.
Yeah. Let's go to somebody who had a much more interesting week, Chris. Do you guys think that Chris could bounce back from this powerhouse mate debacle this week, Kurt?
Yeah, because I don't think it's actually spread beyond Ashley and Danielle, unless there's something that I missed, like on a bit on the side or something like that. Maybe you guys can fill me in, but it seems like it's actually been, it hasn't been, that the shouter over the wall hasn't been spread by Jale and Christopher and Danielle and Ashley and whoever else is in the group.
Yeah, I think this is going to be quickly forgotten about. There's going to be a new powerhouse made. I don't think anybody's going to really be thinking about this too much. It doesn't seem like they dwell on these things too much in BBUK.
No.
Yeah.
I think people are going to more be dwelling on the audience reactions that they're hearing at the evictions and things. So I think people forget about Chris pretty quickly after they've heard the boos for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious how Steven's going to react to he, because he kind of got a mixed reaction. Because some of it, I think, was carryover boos from Pauline because they announced the house guest alphabetically. And so after Pauline's was announced, then they kind of like say Steven's name. And there was some residual booing there, but it sounded like it was a mix of cheers and boos for him.
How about Christopher, who has certainly gotten in his share of conflicts in the house, is not a fan of Toya. And he is the person who gets nominated first this week by the Matthew and Toya. What do you want to call that? Matoya?
Sure.
Okay. So, Inigo Montoya. So they are. He's the first person to get nominated. Do we like Christopher?
I do. I feel like I'm probably in the minority, although he actually seemed like he got a lot of cheers from the crowd. I can see, and I can't remember who it was. If it was Mark or someone that was saying that he hasn't really done anything to deserve the way he's been treated. He's been annoying, but he hasn't like talked behind people's backs or anything like that. And I think Helen was kind of trying to nod along. Maybe it's just I don't like Toya so much, so I'm by contrast liking Christopher. What about you, Mallory?
Yeah, I actually really like Christopher. You just feel for the guy because he's just, you know, getting put up immediately after being on the block or up for elimination. And I think he's a really nice guy. He's genuine. He just is a little bit socially awkward, so I think that he became kind of an outsider at the beginning, but. Yeah, I really like him. He's definitely my top five, I'd say.
Top five, like,
top five. I wonder if it's any easier for him. Like, now he doesn't, he's not going through the entire week wondering if he's going to be nominated. He, like, bam, knows he's nominated now. He doesn't have to really worry about finding out later that he's nominated. So maybe this will be easier for him. And he knows who nominated him, and it's probably not a huge surprise. But I thought it was actually really interesting that when the three farmers were in the diary room, and Christopher and Marlon refused to make any decisions, and Jale was just like, come on, you guys. Okay, we're going to pick this. And they got out, and Toya and others were basically chastising Christopher and Marlon for refusing to make a decision and giving Jale, you know, huge props. That then immediately the time, everyone's saying, Toya, she'll be straight up, she'll make decisions, and she won't regret it, and she'll just do what she has to do. She was like so unwilling to like actually have to pull the trigger when she needed to. When the rubber hit the road, I thought that she failed a little bit to live up to the expectations that I think we all had for her in putting up that first housemate.
All right. How about Danielle, who seemingly was in the tub the entire week? I thought Danielle certainly had a better week in week two than she did in week one. Has she sort of mellowed out, do you think, Kurt?
I think so, unless you try to describe clinically what pornography is to her. I keep talking about Big Brother from two summers ago. There's a great scene there. This is again the same girl, Carolyn, who substituted the entire shopping list for chocolate. There was another great scene from a couple of years ago when she had to sit through a sex education class in the Big Brother house that was taught by somebody who was kind of an expert on the topic. So it's not the first time that you've had somebody who was a little bit of a prude or a little bit unused to talking about something like that freak out. But she really freaked out.
Yeah. Mallory, have you warmed up to Danielle at all?
I have, and that really weirds me out because I really think she's a huge hypocrite. But yeah, I think she has mellowed out a lot this week, and I'm not sure. No words.
Yeah. Okay. Then we've talked about Helen. Anything else that we didn't say about Helen?
Well, I was glad that you guys also got the chance to see one of the instances of Big Brother calling out
a house guest
for their behavior. I thought it was strange and / interesting how they chose to do it the way they did, or this is the point where you call them in because they're excluding Jale after everything that she's kind of been excluded for the last, you know, 15 days. But,
why do they do that?
I'm not sure of the why. I think Ian hypothesized a couple times in terms of why the hate speech might get called out on one of the earlier podcasts. It's just one of the things that they do. They don't want anybody in the house to feel bullied. I think I even remember in the first week when Danielle looked like she was actually ready to quit, and she went into the diary room and the Big Brother was there to kind of comfort her and say, you're not alone in the house. You have people that you can talk to in the house. So I think at least there, it's just it's so different from Big Brother US that I think it's strange to us that that's just a rule that they choose to impose in the Big Brother UK house. But it was interesting that within a couple of days of that, Helen started to have more respect for Jale, or at the very least, it got Helen thinking. And I think they just, maybe they're waiting to catch her in a sober moment so she'd remember. I was glad that, again, the people shouting things over the wall, someone getting called out in the diary room by Big Brother for their behavior in the house. Again, I think there's a lot of people who are new to the show. I'm kind of glad that some of these tropes and these key things that happen people are getting a chance to see them.
Okay, and then the person that Helen was being mean to, again, was Jale. And again, yeah, there's always going to be drama with Jale. And I am hoping that one of these weeks we get her out of the house.
Like the first week, she was... They typically, from what I understand...
Don't call her Slugworth, Kurt.
Don't call her Slugworth.
Like you did to me with those private conversations we had about Jolly.
Go ahead. I'll pick some other Charlie in the Chocolate Factory character. I thought it was interesting that... you know, completely. Okay, you're calling me out on Slugworth. Completely lost my train of thought. Continue.
Mallory, do you feel like that Jale will ever have an easier go of it in the house, or is there always going to be drama with Jale?
Ooh, Jale. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I'm kind of like on the fence about her because I thought she was kind of one of the housemates that had more character, kind of like a Chris, but I don't know. After she kind of tattletaled that the guy said Chris is the powerhouse mate, I really lost a lot of my liking for her. And I feel like she does play a little bit of a victim, so I can kind of see where Pauline was coming from, which is really weird to say because I hate Pauline.
Especially because I think Chris could have made a good case after a few nominations. Again, I don't think he is actually allowed to tell anybody that he was the powerhouse mate. But I think he could have actually, it seemed like he was nominating people that Jale had stood a good chance to stay in the house against. And then I think if I was Jale and I was seeing who was being nominated, I would have felt good about the powerhouse mate. And so it was weird that she reacted like she did. And I remember what I was going to say earlier was, I think that on eviction night, when they say, who is safe, they usually reveal a few people. And they usually do it, I believe, in the order in which people had received votes up to that point, because they'll reopen the polls again. They can make sure their polls are up throughout the show.
Right.
And on the first eviction, Jale was saved first, meaning she had the fewest votes to evict. Tonight, we saw that both Ash and Christopher had fewer votes to evict than Jale did. I mean, so again, if you're kind of freezing the public sentiment at this time, if in the future Jale was ever up against Christopher and Ash, and currently she's up against Christopher, the public is, at least currently now, the way things stand, the public's more likely to keep Christopher over her. So I thought it was interesting that she's no longer at least the favorite, but I think that the public's going to slowly get a little bit sick of her.
Okay, Kimberly, we've talked about her a lot tonight. Is there anything else we want to say about Kimberly?
I'm also Team Kimberly, like Mallory.
Yeah. Do you think that her and Steven will get together?
I hope not. I don't like Steven. Like, I know you like Steven, Rob, but I'm not a big
Steven fan. He's my favorite guy.
Oh, I think he's kind of a tool. He said he wants to be prime minister, and he's going on Big Brother.
I think he's like the Spencer of this season. And I think he talked tough in his VT, but I don't think he's really. I think he basically acted one way to sort of like, oh, we got to put this guy on the show. But he's really, who has he been rude to in the house?
Not rude.
I see Kimberly and Steven potentially working outside the house. Like, once they are themselves and she sees who he really is, like, in terms of like a successful businessman, like, he seems like he's his success. He seems like he's been keeping that pretty close to the vest. And she's, well, whereas she's been pretty open about herself. I think she's just very guarded about anything she's going to do in the house. Mm-hmm. Without necessarily vocalizing that fact. I just get that sense. I could see them potentially hitting it off outside the house.
Okay. Look, life's short. You gotta can't be figuring out what you're gonna do a couple months from now. You don't know what's gonna happen. Okay, so then let's talk about Kimberly and Mark. We've talked about Mark. Anything else about Mark?
I like Mark.
Yeah. It's fun to talk like Mark. Marlon,
I need to practice. I need to catch up to you too.
You know, Kurt is trying to talk like me, but his accent is really shit. So we have Marlon, who I feel bad for Marlon, because I think that Marlon has been a miss from the casting perspective. I think they thought Marlon was going to be one way in the house, and he's really brought very little to the table.
Like a Keith's Angels part two?
Yeah, he's really just has had, you know, basically other than this whole thing with Kimberly, you know, he's really not been an asset to the show, I don't think. I think a lot of the second night people have been kind of duds.
He needs to have a secret task of some sort that lets him stand out. Maybe not quite Winston's tell a bunch of stories that all end with you throwing up everywhere. Maybe not that kind of secret task.
That was amazing. Yeah.
And I like nobody questioned the fact that Winston would eat a raw dead bird on a camping trip and then throw up everywhere.
Yeah.
And Big Brother suggests, sorry, I just have to dwell on this a little bit. Big Brother suggests, you know, think of situations where you might throw up, like on a carnival ride or after eating some bad food. And like, those first two places that Winston goes are fetishistic sex and some sort of twisted camping nightmare.
Yeah, because he couldn't start a fire, Kurt. He had to eat raw dead animals that he found.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's not a vegetarian.
Carol Gillis wants to know: was Winston's shark story the best shark story ever? Did Big Brother ask him to tell a shark story, or that actually happened to him?
I have a feeling that actually happened to him, because I heard if you are getting bit by a shark, you're supposed to punch it on the nose. That's what I've heard.
Wait, Mallory, how do you know about this?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Oh my god,
I think it's like a well-known fact. Yeah,
I love the no-nonsense way he tells the story, though. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I like Winston, he's good. Then we also have Matthew, who's been very quiet. We'll probably see more of him this week.
Yeah, part of me was hoping that either he or Kim would win Powerhouse Mate, but with the twist that one of the two people who are part of the power couple is going to end up being nominated this week, I'm kind of glad that Kim is not part of the power couple.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's Toya. Surprise.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have Steven, who I'm pro Steven, but you guys do not care for Steven. He had sort of a quiet week. I think the thing that's probably hurting him is all the spooning with Pauline and crying about how much he loves Pauline. I did not see that coming. He's like, no. I love this woman.
and I do like how Chris did keep calling out that some of the people he just nominated them or shortlisted them publicly to see how they would react. And I like him, or I like he, whichever. I was surprised how Steven handled the nomination.
Yeah, he was upset.
Mildly.
He doesn't want to leave. He's a sensitive guy. Can we do a task, just a quick diversion from talking about the house guests? I know this is a podcast and some people are going to be listening to this on the audio, but I think this will be a lot of fun for the video. What I'd like to do is I'd like to pretend that we are going to be going into the Big Brother UK house sometime in the next week. And okay, as part of that, to get ready for that, we need to record things that they can intercut with the scenes to like the transitions of like happy and not happy moments to cut in with the transitions. Okay,
like the three like record something. Record your head shaking.
Yes,
that one.
Yes. Okay. So, all right. So Kurt, I'm going to start with you. Okay. Sure. So we're going to get this just for if we want to cut up this podcast. All right, Kurt. Right. First, I want to something good just happened. I want to see you reacting to something good.
And it's got to last for like 4 seconds, right?
Yes.
Because that's like, okay. Okay. So something positive just happened on the show, and I'm going to go.
Okay, good. All right. Now, Kurt, now something bad just happened.
My poll crashed.
Yes, you basically you've got nominated. Something bad happened to you, Kurt. What does that look like?
I think you have to incorporate the obligatory head shaking. So it would be.
That's good. Not too overstated. All right, Mallory. All right, you're going to go into the Big Brother house. We need to see something positive just happened for you.
All right. So.
Okay. You guys both went with the thumbs up. Okay, that's good.
I know. He stole it. Yeah.
Sorry.
Read my mind.
all right. And now, Mallory, now something bad happened.
Bad.
Oh, you look disappointed. All right. Now here's mine. Okay, this is something good just happened. I went with the fist bump. All right. And now here's something bad just happened to me. That's mine.
Good one.
Yeah.
That's 2 minutes of great audio podcasting.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll find out how many people listen to the video and how many people listen to the audio of this.
It sent them. Yeah. I don't know what the timestamp is. Go back and watch.
Theater of the mind for everybody. There you go. Okay. And then who haven't we talked about? Toya. And we've established that Kurt hates her.
It's watching her arguments with Christopher where... Like literally, okay. So this is really in a nutshell why I cannot stand Toya. So she was trying to signal wordlessly to Kimberly, I believe about Marlon and that she needs to stay away from him or whatever. Or can you believe him? So she's wordlessly giving signals to Kimberly about something. Christopher tries to interpret what this is, and Kimberly and Toya, like thinking that they're talking, trying to conjecture who the powerhouse mate is. And Toya immediately drills into him, why do you got to bring that up? Why do you got to put words in my mouth? It's like, he's not putting words in your mouth. You weren't saying anything. You were wordlessly communicating something in a way that was vague and could be interpreted multiple ways. And so, and just the righteousness of anger that emanated forth from her. Oh my gosh.
She reminds me a lot of Sabrina from Big Brother Canada too. Just she's one of those people that are so wrapped up in their own BS that they start believing all the lies that they're telling, and it's just it's excruciating for me to watch after just watching Sabrina for months.
Well, is she good TV? Toya's not really good TV so far. Not like Sabrina.
No. Was this also the week that Kimberly taught the flirting class?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I wanted to talk about that with... and so Marlon was buying into it.
My favorite part was the... Say certain words. Avocado. Cashew. Rhubarb.
Yeah, what were some of the other ones? You want to stand with your legs spread very far apart? That's another one, right?
To show the breadth of your power.
You also want to you want to touch a woman's ear? Is that one of them?
And forehead, I believe.
Yeah.
And as you are speaking these very sensual words, make sure that you stick the tongue out of your mouth and lick your lips as you say them. Okay, and it didn't help. Who was going after Pauline? Was that Steven again?
Yeah, Steven.
Oh, no.
I can't get the image of them grinding out of my head. Bad.
No. All right, let's take some of the questions here from the listeners of the podcast. We actually got quite a few. Let's start off with Carol Gillis, who wants to know, very good point about Toya. It's so easy to criticize other people when you're watching from the couch. And as you notice, if you're watching the video, now your thumbnail will pop up when you post your comment. So we'll get to see your avatar, too. Yeah. So people are you are not alone about Toya, Kurt.
Unless that was saying that it's easy for us to criticize people when we're watching from the couch, in which case I would agree with that. I mean, that's that's the role I've taken.
Okay. This is from Emily. And Emily says, what are your guys' thoughts on Kim? I find her fake, stuck up, condescending, boring, and she looks miserable all the time. I'm disappointed she's representing the U.S. Mallory, that's your goddess Kim is being dragged through the mud. And she needs to take a shower again.
Yeah, I do think she's a bit boring, to be honest. I just think she's like one of the most likable people. I hate a lot of people in the house. So, yeah, she's on my good list.
And in terms of like looking like she, I can't remember the question, she looks like she's miserable all the time. I literally have in my notes the exact same thing about Toya.
Okay.
Toya looks constantly miserable. And then that level of misery trumps anything Kimberly might be feeling. So if Kimberly is indeed all of these things, the fact that she's eclipsed by other people in the house and I'm just not noticing.
Okay. Doris Clark wants to know, is the public reaction being piped into the house affecting decisions and strategy too much? Should the house guests be completely shut off or be allowed to get that public feedback? Okay, well, I think this is one of the key differences here between Big Brother US and Big Brother UK.
Right, and I think last week I actually misspoke. I know somebody had asked if Chris's decision on the live eviction last week to nominate Pauline was at all affected by the public reaction. And I thought the nomination had taken place earlier in the day. It turned out that he had gone into the bathroom after Tamara had been evicted and then voted then. And we learned that he was considering Pauline, wasn't sure about it, and it was indeed the crowd reaction that got him to commit to that once Tamara had left the house. So I'd say A, it's definitely impacting some decisions, and B, I think it should be allowed because that's just part of the BB UK game. It's not part of the BB US game. I think the times that it does happen in the US version, the production tries to mask it as much as possible. I'm thinking about the voting situation when Jordan won. I think was it Jesse heard the crowd reaction to Natalie being in the final two, and he just ended up voting for Jordan, I believe, if my history is correct. So, but it's a part and parcel of the UK game.
Yeah. This is from the Roslette, who wants to know, how do you guys think Chris handled being outed by the person over the wall? Do you think that Jale did the right thing by telling her house guests what she heard? This is an interesting question, I think, because I don't think Chris did a great job of handling this. Now, I know he's not allowed to say if he is the power housemate, but could he have said something to Jale, something like, okay, well, I am most certainly not the power housemate. But if I was, I wouldn't be able to tell you because those would probably be the rules from Big Brother. So that doesn't really matter. I'm not the power housemate, but I wouldn't be able to tell you if I was.
I think she would have just latched on to that. I think that might have made it worse, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how he could have naturally reacted in any, he did not react well, but I don't know how he could have like covered. Like, it was a really uncomfortable situation. It was just really like, A, the fact that he was back there when it happened. And B, the fact that, he was with those two people. I mean, that could have played out so many other different ways. If it had been Pauline and Steven and Helen, it would have been a completely different week for Chris.
I liked when Jale was in with Big Brother, and Jale was like, I heard them say that Chris is the powerhouse guest over the wall. And Big Brother was like, well, Big Brother thinks that you should ignore what they said and just forget about this.
Like, oh. Only Big Brother and the powerhouse mate can confirm that they are the powerhouse mate. So that didn't really throw Jale off the scent.
Yeah.
I like how you keep saying Jale like she's a victim on whodunit. Yeah. Jale.
No, that's how the voiceover guy says it.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about, let's take a few more questions. This is from Dylan Robinson wants to know, am I the only one who thinks that Ashley looks like a foot with eyes and blonde hair? Is Dylan Robinson the only person that thinks that?
I mean, people think that Sarah Jessica Parker looks like a foot, so I guess she's in good company.
I'm going to have to go back to the tape on this one. That's something I'm going to, it's probably one of the things I can't unsee now. Like, I'm not be able to see Ashley and not think, is that a foot?
Is that a foot with blonde hair? I don't know. I need to see a picture of it. I need to see side by side a picture of Ashley and a picture of a foot with blonde hair, and then I can tell the difference.
Make it happen, internet.
Okay. All right. So how about this? This Emily wants to know, did you all catch when Steven admitted to Lulissa on Bits on the Side that he had a gastric band? I'm going to assume that he was really overweight at some point. What? Is this true?
It's true. Yeah.
What?
I heard it. I certainly
Steven
heard it.
Steven used to be, fat?
Was this during one of the pre-show taping then? Did they air it on a Bit on the Side later?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I believe that's when it was. Yep.
I'm gonna have to
they had like an interviewer come in and yeah.
If it wasn't already eating up 45 minutes of every night, I'd have to watch Bit on the Side every night too. I have to start doing that.
We have a question coming in from @the_real_coach wants to know, what about the World Cup? I love BB, but you are slacking on my Rob. What do you think? Should I be talking more about the World Cup with Coach Wade?
No.
All right. Coach is upset.
Short answer, no.
Okay. All right. Here's a question from Spicy Wasabi. You always hear people refer to someone as playing the game. Christopher has been referred to this as this way. But what does playing the game mean in terms of BBUK? This is a good question.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this, I think, in the first or second coverage that we did. And I'm sure I'll get corrected in the chat room or in the comment section. But from my recollection of having watched prior seasons, playing the game means not being yourself and trying to shape the perception of you so that the public likes you and presenting yourself off as something other than you actually are. And it's, you know, making decisions in the house that rather than what you want to do or rather than what feels right, naturally progress you toward the end of the game. And as someone who's used to watching like Survivor and BBUS, it seems like, well, yes, you want to play the game, but it's got a very negative connotation over in the UK. Someone who's kind of trying to put on like a kind of a false front to get themselves further.
Okay. This is from Carol Gills, who said, thank you for bringing up the weird Pauline and Steven thing, Rob. I have been holding back on this, but Pauline went all crazy with her early morning workouts and her flirt task with Steven. Why was Pauline like dancing in the tub for a couple of hours straight the other day? Isn't that probably the worst place in the house to be dancing?
Is that where she was at? She wasn't in the bedroom.
I think she was in the bathroom, too. Oh, okay. I think she was dancing all over the place. It was quite a show.
I liked when she came out of the house that they said to her, like, Pauline, you on the first night were voted into the house by 50% of the voting public. And this week, 75% of the voters voted for you to be evicted.
That's another reason I can't wait to watch tonight's Bit on the Side is I it's like you want people to reflect on how they, if they at least consider the fact that they might have been in the wrong.
No.
Like, she doesn't have to admit it in the end, but she has to, in my mind, I would like to see her at least consider it.
Pauline is, and I didn't hate her in the house or anything like that, but she just is like the most stubborn interview. Like they were asking her about like the different things about like what happened and about, she's like, you know, there's only so much chicken. And to somebody's talking about the, like, could anything be more boring to talk about how much chicken people got to eat in the Big Brother house?
Other than talking about people talking about chicken in the Big Brother house. I mean, it's like, it's, ugh.
All right.
That's why I was wondering when she was if she was playing the game, as you say, when she, on that last episode, when she was talking about, who is she talking about? Christopher, being mean to Christopher. And I thought she might be playing the game a bit to get some sympathy votes, because she actually seemed pretty unapologetic during her interview, which I was really surprised at. I thought she'd be a bit more humble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Let's take a couple more questions. Carol says, Mark is hilarious. The whole moth on the pillow thing was pretty funny.
That's bad luck.
It's bad luck.
It's a sign of death.
Who's death?
I think in that case it was Marlon and Ash's bed. It's one of those two. And Ashley said it's a sign of bad luck, and Mark said it's a sign of death. And Ashley's like, I'm not so sure about that.
It was in like a Silence of the Lambs.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. All right. Let's see if we have a couple other questions. This is from Olivia 123 wants to say, I love Christopher and feel that he is so lonely and feel really bad for him. He also got saved first by the public. So there is support for Christopher.
Right. And like I said, I'm not surprised that Toya nominated him. It was really Toya, I think, and not Matthew. They had to make a decision. I liked how Big Brother did not anticipate that Matthew and Toya would run into the bathroom to discuss what they wanted to do, because they immediately started to try to call them out. I think and I hope that Christopher is safe another week. Like Leah pointed out, he was one of the first people saved. So I think, again, playing the game might be not nominating Christopher because you realize that he's going to be saved. Or if there's somebody else you do want out and you think you're going to be making multiple nominations, nominating Christopher because you know he's not going anywhere.
Okay. Dylan Robinson wanted to say that Helen 100% sounds like Ygritte. So we have that going for us. Okay. And let's see. How about this? Dylan Robinson has another comparison. Not to be rude, do you think that Tamara looks like Dory from Finding Nemo? Does Tamara look like Dory from Finding Nemo?
It's been a long time since I've seen Finding Nemo, but I'll give that. I'll psychically ring the bell on that one as well.
I will say no. Tamara does not look like Dory from Finding Nemo.
You're putting your Ashley. I mean, your foot down on that one.
Putting my foot down on that one. It's one thing to say Ashley looks like a foot with blonde hair. Tamara does not look like Dory from Finding Nemo. I really enjoyed it this week when Tamara was a guest on Bits on the Side, and they talked about Tamara. They're like, all right, and here's a woman who always has big things in front of her. Here is Tamara. She's like, ah. All right, let's do one last question from Emily. And she wants to know, is Chris pretty much the front runner to win at this point? Who, if not Chris, could win at this point? I did not feel like Chris was the front runner after this week.
No. I guess maybe Mark. Maybe Winston.
Maybe, maybe Matthew, Winston, yeah. Ash got a lot of cheers, which was surprising to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he did.
I'm trying to think.
Ash was popular.
Among the women, maybe Kimberly, maybe Ashley. Maybe
Ashley.
In terms of being less of a contentious potential winner, she's got her foot in the door.
Yeah. Robert Leinhardt in the chat room says Winston is the front runner. I can't disagree.
Yeah, he's on my short list for winning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mallory, do you think Mark can win?
My God. I think Mark can win if it's a contest about Mariah Carey.
Kid, do you think she's going to visit the house? Is she going to be like the Tori Spelling?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I hope so.
What would Mark say if Mariah Carey came in the house?
I have no words. I don't know. I'm assuming, screams.
All right. All right. So that is BB UK for this week. I believe next week, this might be the last week that I am going to be able to cover BB UK with Kurt and Mallory. So the coverage will continue, but I think that BB US is going to start to consume my focus when it premieres on this upcoming Wednesday night. We're going to have podcasts live after the East Coast airing of the Wednesday and Thursday night episodes of Big Brother 16. I'll have my Big Brother 16 preview show on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific with Brian Lynch. And of course, you can still get in on the early bird special for Big Brother US live feeds and get in to win 500 smackers, 500 when you play Big Brother live feed bingo on robhasawebsite.com. For more information on that, go to robhasawebsite.com/bingo. All right, Mallory, great job in your first time out. If you want to check out Mallory's VT of her, how she got here, you could check that out on the show page for this podcast episode. And of course, we will give you all the information of when we will have our next Big Brother UK recap sometime next week. So have a great week, everybody. We will talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.